Okay, today's daf is Nun Gimel. We're going to start five lines from the bottom at Nun Bet Amud Bet Gufa. We're going to go in depth into the statement that Chizkiah made. Amar Chizkiah, if you remember from yesterday, Maasir Sheni She'en Bo Shevet Pruta. If you have a Maasir Sheni, remember the Maasir Sheni, it's the second Maasir you're supposed to take. First one goes to Levi, the second one you're supposed to bring to Yerushalayim. Instead of schlepping it to Yerushalayim, generally people would go and redeem it onto a coin, bring that coin to Yerushalayim, eat it in Yerushalayim. Okay, they would spend the money in Yerushalayim on food and eat it in Yerushalayim. We're going to learn all sorts of halachot about Maaser Sheni today. Chizkiah says that if it doesn't have a Shevet Pruta, what do you do? Remember, you have to add the Chomesh, the 1/5, which we're going to get to today finally, if we make it to the very end of the daf, about is it 1/5 or is it a quarter, really, or 1/5, how we're going to calculate that. So what did we say? Let's work backwards this statement. What does it mean? When you redeem your maaser sheni onto a coin, you never do it exactly the right amount. You always do it a little bit more. Okay, you never really know exactly the value. You're not exacting in your, right? We've seen this, that people aren't always exacting in their measurements, which means that if you have this Maaser Sheni that's not a Shevet Pruta, which basically means you can't redeem it onto a coin, so what do? You take Ma'ot already that you put Maaser Sheni on them previously, and then you can add on this Maaser Sheni She'en Bo Shevet Pruta. So now we're going to have a question about this. Meitive, it's from a Tanaitic source. Hatshuma v'habikurim. Now we're going to learn about truma and bikurim. Okay, two things about them that are both things that go to the kohen, different from the maaser sheni, which is eaten by a regular person. Chayavim alehem mita v'chomesh. If you eat truma when you're not supposed to, okay, whether there's two cases, either you're a zar who eats truma or you're a kohen who eats truma shenitma. Okay, became contaminated, became tameh, you're not allowed to eat it, even a kohen. Or if you're a zar and you eat the bikurim, you're chayav mita, and if you, obviously not if you're a kohen who is nitma, but if you are a zar, a non-kohen who eats it, what do you have to do? You have to pay back the value of the item plus the chomesh payment to the kohen that you took it from. Va'asurim lizarim, or actually do you pay it? Yeah, I guess you would pay it. What if it doesn't belong to anybody? Then maybe you have to pay it. That's a good question. The chomesh, you have to pay. V'natan the kohen. The pasuk says, "Ish ki ochal kodesh b'shkaga." You ate it accidentally. V'yasaf chamishito alav. V'natan the kohen et kodesh. Probably you give to any kohen if it wasn't specifically belonging to a particular kohen. V'asurim lezarim, okay, they're obviously forbidden to non-kohanim. V'hein nichse kohen. When it comes to the kohen, this stuff is considered his property, which means what? That he's allowed to marry a woman, betroth a woman with it. In other words, we saw this before when we were learning Kiddushin. He can use money there was bikurim, there was truma. If he wants, he can use it to betroth a woman because they belong to him, as opposed to being what? Nichse gavoha, right? They're hekdesh. Where hekdesh money, remember we had a whole sugya about can you be mekadesh a woman with hekdesh? Hekdesh you can't be because it doesn't belong to you. Ve'olim be'achad u'mea. Okay, we're getting into lots of different halachot today. What's achad b'mea? That's dine bitul. If the truma, one thing of truma falls into a pile of 100, then we can say it's canceled. That's different from the general laws of bitul, which are usually... Okay, so there's bitul b'shishim, and there's also... Bitul berov, right? There's the majority, and that comes from the Torah. Charei rabim lahatot. Okay, when it comes to, right? They created all these things. Batal b'shishim. There's certain things that are batal b'meah. There's certain things that are batal b'matayim, and there's certain things we're going to get to today that are filu be'elef lo batil. Okay, never batal. So truma and bikurim is 1 in 100. Utuunim rechitzat yadayim. Okay, this is because yadayim are shniot. Remember, we have levels of tuma, so the chachamim goes there because yadayim askaniyotim, that hands can pass on tuma, but only to something that can become a shlishi l'tuma. And what is that? Only truma and kodshim, remember, because they're the only things that actually go to the third level. Regular items, chulin, can't be tame. There is no such thing as a shlishi l'tumah when it comes to chulin. It's only when it comes to truma and kodshim, and therefore, before you eat truma, you have to wash your hands, because if your hands are have tuma on them, then they'll make the truma tame. V'harev shemesh. This is why we do netilat yadayim nowadays, to remember this halacha. Okay? Which was only relevant to truma. Right. That's why it's interesting that we all do it. Right. So we do it to remember this concept of yadayim shniyot. And
except it didn't work.
It's a little more complicated than that, but that's the simple. Okay. V'harev shemesh, that means if you're tameh and you want to eat them, you have to, if you were tameh that day and you want to eat truma, so what do? Right, this is relevant to the very first Mishnah in Shas. Which is after sunset, right? They say it's actually Tzeda Kochavim, at the end of sunset. You have to, you tovel in the morning and or sometime during the day, and you wait till the sun sets, and then at Tzeda Kochavim you can eat the truma. Hare elu b'truma u'bikurim. Ma she'en kein b'maser. Okay, these are all true for truma bikurim, and they're not relevant. The implication here is it's maser sheni. They're not relevant, all these things, for maser sheni. So now they want to say, my masha'en kein maser. If we say masha'en kein b'maser, well, some of these things, okay, so it's mutar lezarim, okay, there's no mitan chomesh, they're not nichsei kohen, so we'll get to that one soon, what they are. They're olim b'echad u'me'ah, so what would you think it means? And not, but this isn't true for maser, meaning maser has the basic halacha, right? It's going to be batal b'rov. So my masha'en kein b'maser, lav michlal d'maser batal b'ruba, right? Wouldn't you assume then the maser is batal b'rov, the classic din of acharei rabim lahatot? V'im ita d'chizkiya, now if it was true what chizkiya says, okay, we'll get to this in a minute, what the connection is, havalei devar she'esh lo matirin, v'chol devar she'esh lo matirin afilu be'elef lo batil. If we hold like chizkiya, okay, we'll get to why this connects to chizkiya, but then maser sheni is really considered a davar sheyesh lo mitirin. What is davar sheyesh lo mitirin? It's something that now is aser, but eventually can become mutar. Okay, let's talk about davar sheyesh lo mitirin before we get to the context of the Gemara. I'll give you some classic examples of davar sheyesh lo mitirin. Okay, you have tevel. Tevel is something that you haven't been mafresh truma to masro, so that's asur right now. But as soon as your mafresh is true on a masro, it becomes mutar. Correct? Okay, next thing. Okay, I'll give you some categorizations. Okay, there's, 1 second, right. It could be a asur because of a pi'ula. That's like tevel. And it'll let, you know, by a, in other words, tevel is a asur, but if you do some sort of action to it, you could be matir it. A second one is time. So let's say you have a beitza shenolda b'yom tov. So beitza shenolda b'yom tov, today is Aser, because it was born today. But tomorrow, it will be Mutar, because tomorrow is Yom Chol. And obviously, if it was born yesterday, so what if it was born on Yantif? It's Mutar to eat today. Right? That's the Isra on Yantif of Nolad. You can't have something that was born on that day. So Beit HaShenolda is Aser today, but it will be Mutar tomorrow. It could be Makom, okay? Like, for example, something's outside the Tchum on Shabbat. Okay, but, so you can't access it today on Shabbat, but tomorrow, of course you can access it. So all those things... Okay, then there's like interesting machlokot. For example, it's a huge sugya and discussed in many different places. Chametz. What about chametz? Chametz is asur today, right? But on Pesach, but it'll be mutar after Pesach.
Except
this chametz shavar alav Pesach, and also it'll eventually become asur again next year. So there's like a bit of a debate if it has a materim, but then it will become asur. What do we do with it? There's a debate about a whole bunch of sugyot. Anyway, that's the basic, the first concept you have to understand. Okay, we're going to do by levels today. First concept is, what is a davar sheyesh lo matirin? It's something that now is asur, but either by time or a pu'ula or change. Right, or some sort of change, it will become, you know, location, it will become mutar. What does it mean it's never batel? Why is a davar sheyesh lo matirin never batel? Okay, dinei bitul don't apply to a davar sheyesh lo matirin. So there's two very interesting answers given. One is Rashi, who says, listen, you might really want this right now, and it's stuck in this mixture, and, you know, generally we say acharei rabim lahatot. But better, I'll read the wording, sha'ad sheyochlenu b'isur, yochlenu b'heter. In other words, you have two options, right? You can eat it b'isur, use dinei rov to cancel it, right? And it's okay. But right now it's usur, and you're canceling it out. However, if tomorrow it'll be mutar, then may as well wait till it's mutar. And that's why DNA Bitul don't work. The Ran says differently. The Ran says, no. How did DNA Bitul work? DNA Bitul work because you have a min b'she'eno mino. You have two different things. And because they're two different things, one can cancel the other. If you have two of the same thing, they don't cancel each other out. It only works because you have two different things. So one overpowers the other. You know, that let's say if you're canceling something and something else, so the davar ha, you know, that's mutar cancels out the davar ha asur. In the case of davar sheyesh lematirin, you don't have really, it's not really min b'she'eno mino, because this davar sheyesh lematirin has both heter and isur in it. It's not exactly defined as isur. If it's isur, you can have heter swallow up the isur. If it's heter itself and the other item is heter, so you can't have heter cancel heter. So the two different approaches to how exactly it works. In any case, the main thing is that a davar sheyesh lematirin is not canceled. Now, what would you call maaser sheni? Regular maaser sheni, what would you say? Of course, it can be hutar because you can be podet onto a coin. Or you can eat it in Yerushalayim. So if your maaser sheni falls into a bunch of stuff, right? So either you can redeem the whole thing onto a coin and bring the money to Yerushalayim and spend money in Yerushalayim, in which case it'll be mutar. So you could say, well, therefore it won't be canceled in some mixture. Or you can say, if you don't want to bring it, if you don't want to put that onto a coin, just bring the whole pile to Yerushalayim and eat it in Yerushalayim. So basically, it should be mutar. But you could have a case of maaser that can't. What would be the case? A maaser shein bo sheva pruta, because you can't be mechalel onto a coin. So because of that, okay, we're going to say, according to Chizkiya, who says that you can redeem it onto a coin, because you can say whatever previous coins I had done my maaser on, there's a little bit left, I'm going to stick my maaser onto there, then actually, even shein bo sheva pruta is a davar sheyesh lematirin, and therefore, our derivation from this braita, that truma is olim be'echad u'me'ah, right, one into 100, which would then teach us that masha'en came to maaser sheni, it said at the end of that braita, the maaser sheni is batel berov, right? How could that be true that it's batel berov? It's davar sheyesh lematirin. Okay, and even if you want to say, what about this case of a sheva pruta? That's also davar sheyesh lematirin according to Chizkiya. So now they say, umimai de masha'en bo b'maaser de batel beruba. Who's to say that the implication is, if the truma is ole b'echad u'me'ah, masha'en came b'maaser sheni means the maaser sheni is batel berov? No. Maybe dilma means that truma is ole b'echad u'me'ah and maaser sheni is never batel, right? Maybe it means that maaser sheni is actually more chamor, right? It's got a more stringent halacha when it comes to bitul. Okay, so let's read it. Inside dilma lo batel klal, right? Maybe it's never batel. So then they say, wait a minute. Lo matzit amratachi, dilgabe truma chumre de truma katane, kule de truma lo katane. This braita, the whole subject of the braita, was to say all the chumrot that truma and bikurim have, which, you know, are different from maaser sheni that doesn't have all these chumrot. So you can't say that it means that maaser is never batel. Or maybe it does. Then it says, wait a minute, v'ha katane, but wait, there's another case in that Mishnah, I specifically glossed over it when we read it. Okay? What does it say there? By the way, I wonder, I didn't even check if this is a Mishnah or a braita. It is a Mishnah. It's a Mishnah in Chala, it's a Mishnah in Bikurim. Okay. So the Mishnah there says, V'hein nichse kohen. What does that mean? Their nichse kohen, that the kohen can use it to get married with, to betroth the woman with, or for something he needs. But masha'en came by maaser. Why? What do we say about maaser? Maaser is actually more chamor. Maaser is mamon gavoh. There's actually machloket, whether it's mamon gavoh or not. But this seems to imply the masha'en came by maaser, the maaser is mamon gavoh, and you can't betroth a woman. So what do you see here? This Mishnah does have chumrot in maaser sheni, in which case you could say, afilu be'elef lo batil. But then they say, no, no, no. You still can't say the maaser sheni is never, because lo salkadatach de tanya behedya, there's a braita that says explicitly, maaser sheni batel beruba. Okay, it says Master Sheni's Batal Baruba, and the Brita continues to say Ube Eze Master Sheni Amru, and this resolves all our issues, right? It makes it very clear that what type of Master Sheni were they talking about? The Master Sheni Boshavet Pruta V'Shenichnas LiYerushalayim V'Yetza. So now we have the problem is clear. In other words, until now we thought we were just getting it from a derivation. That because you said Alim Bachabimea, Master Sheni is Batel Barov, and then we had our question on Chizkia, that according to Chizkia, it's Devar Sheyesh Lo Matirin, and why would it be Batel Barov? Now we say, no. You forget whether or not you can prove it from the Mishnah, it doesn't really matter, because you can prove it from the Braita that we have a question on Chizkia. Because the Braita says explicitly, our case of Chizkia, that it's a Devar Sheyesh Lo Matirin, and I'm sorry, that it's not a Devar Sheyesh Lo Matirin, right? Because the Braita says it's Batel Barov. If it's Batel Barov, then it's not a Devar Sheyesh Lo Matirin. Our case, and it lists another case, which we're going to deal with soon, okay, which is someone who brings Maaser into Yerushalayim and then leaves. There's a Takana Chachamim that if you brought your Maaser into Yerushalayim and then you go out of Yerushalayim, that you can no longer redeem it onto a coin. Once it's gone into the Chamot of Yerushalayim, so you cannot redeem it onto a coin anymore. So now we'll get to exactly what this case is, because it's not yet clear. But right now, what are we saying? Again, we have a problem. Okay? In other words, if we hold like Chizkia, then there should be a solution, in which case it should be a Devar Sheyesh Lo Matirin, because you should be able to be Mechalel on Ma'ot that you already did. Okay, so now what's going to be the situation? Now we're going to try to come up with a situation where Chizkiah's solution would not work. When Chizkiah's solution would not work, the first obvious case is going to be what? Where you didn't have Ma'ot Rishonot. You have this Ma'aser She'en Bo Shevet Pruta, right? And you weren't poda anything before. Or maybe you were last season, but not this season. So you don't have a coin to go back to redeem it onto. So that's what the Gemara first answers. Delo parik, he hasn't done any other sort of pidyon, so therefore he doesn't have a coin and he can't do it. So they say, wait a minute. Vinete maser di itle, vinitstrafinu. What happened? You have this pile of this maser that mixed up with a pile of maser sheni, right? It was less than a shavar pruta. It mixed up with a pile of regular stuff. So now, what can you do? You can add to the pile regular stuff that's maser sheni, and then you'll have tseruf, right? It'll be mitztaref. It'll join together the she'en bo shavar pruta, right? What's the issue when you have she'en bo shavar pruta? So add to it some more stuff, and it'll get up to a shavar pruta, and then you'll be chayav maser, and then you can be pode, and then again it will be a devar sheyesh lo matirin. So now, so what do they say when? Right, so even if, this is basically to say we still have a question, even if you say he didn't have Ma'or Rishonot, still there should be a solution, in which case we still have a question. So what do they answer? Ah, no. De'oraita v'derabanan lo mitztarfei. The chiyuv of poda, a coin, the she'en bo shevet pruta, is only a chiyuv midirabanan. And the chiyuv to be poda, regular maaser sheni, or, you know, to eat in Yerushalayim, in which case it's chayav and pidyon, is de'oraita. And you can't mix de'oraita and de'rabanan masrot. Okay, that doesn't work. Why doesn't that work? Because mi de'oraita, this maaser is really batel barov. So now you're going to come and say, right, that it's chayav midirabanan, because it's still, you know, we want to make a chayav and maaser. And then you're going to add this d'oraita. That doesn't work. You can't join those two together. Because on a d'oraita level, it's not even chayav and maser. So then they say, v'neite demai. So why don't we take something that's chayav maser only midirabana? And that's suffic, whether you took truma to maserot or not. So let's bring that over and join that. Then we'll have d'rabanan, and we'll get up to more than a shavah pruta. So what do they say? No, we don't want to allow that, because if we allow people to bring demai and mitzareif it to this ta'arovet of maser sheni that has less than a shavah pruta and regular stuff, then what might people think? Dilma atilatuye vadai. People might actually bring by accident. They won't know the difference whether it's demai or, you know, they'll see someone doing it. Demai doesn't have a name on it. It doesn't have like a label that's demai. They'll see someone doing this. They'll say, oh, I'll do this too. And they'll not realize that you can't do drabanan and d'oraita together. And they'll actually use vadai. Vinete. So let's try another solution. Nate, remember, each solution we're suggesting is to question this, right, Chizkia. Why isn't it a Devar Sheyesh Lo Matirin? V'neite shtei prutot, v'nechal el alayhu maser b'pruta v'mechte. Okay, sorry, let's read it again better. V'neite shtei prutot, why don't we bring over shtei prutot? V'nechal el alayhu maser b'pruta v'mechte. Take stuff that's worth 1.5, that's chayv in trumot masra. Take it, or maser sheni, let's just say. Take 1.5, I'm sorry, take 2 prutot. Take 1.5 prutot's worth of maser. Redeem it onto the prut of 1.5. V'nechal al hay al hech yetera. And then, this is right, this was the obvious solution for the beginning. Create a situation, so you don't have Mo'ev Rishono from before, but create a situation where you're leaving over half a pruta of value onto this coin, and now you can redeem it onto the coin. So what if it didn't exist before your Maser Sheni existed? Make it exist, right? Make a situation where you're left with a half a pruta on this coin, and then that should work. Okay. Mi savar pruta v'mechza tafsa shtei prutot, tafsa shtei prutot. When you do this pruta v'mechza, you think it's toface on the 2 prutot, you take 2 prutot. You have 2 coins, and you take 1.5's worth of produce. So the assumption was that you're taking 1.5 of produce, and you're sticking it onto those 2 coins. Now, that's not how it works. Lo pruta tafsa, pruta, the first pruta of produce is going to go on the first pruta. And then, chatzi pruta lo tafsa. It doesn't work like that. It works that if you take 2 prutot, so 1 pruta is going to have 1 pruta's worth of value. Then you're left with a half a pruta of produce, but you're adding to it the pruta of the half a pruta of your other stuff. And to right, neither right, you're going to end up with doraita and dorabanan because the first stuff was together with a pile of stuff that was chayv midoraita. The other stuff was by itself; it was lo shavah pruta. And those two, you're going to try to combine onto this pruta. That doesn't work. That's
how,
again.
How do you ever end up with a situation that a pruta has some room left on it? If that's the case.
Right. It's a good question. So the assumption here is that there you did it because you there you didn't have the way I understand it is like this. If you just do it onto 2 prutot and you don't have other stuff, then it works. And then later you end up with maser sheni, so you stick it on. But if you have a situation, I think there's 2 answers to your question. I'll get to the other possible one, which we're going to see in a minute in the Gemara. But it sounds to it's possible that you could have the issue here is because you already have this other half and you want to join it with that, and then you're really joining 2 different things. Alternatively, you could say that it works, like we're going to see the next suggestion, and maybe that's really the answer, which is v'neite isar. Why don't you just take a coin that's worth 2 prutot, or more than 2, right? Take 1 coin, in which case you don't have this issue. If you take 2 prutot, you're going to have that issue. But if you take 1 larger coin, right, like think about it, take a 1 shekel coin, you take a 5 shekel coin, you know, take a 5 shekel, well then it'll just go into that. So they say, no, dilma ati latuye pruto. We still don't want to let you do that because maybe then you'll do it with prutot. So I think the issue here is really that you're doing it after the, you're doing it before the fact. In other words, you know already that you have maser sheni. Right. I think it's more of a problem that way. Okay. So basically, what we've shown here, okay, let's just follow the flow. We wanted to say, so now, how does that work with Chizkiah? Right? Why don't we have these solutions? And now they say it's a case where he hadn't already done the pidyon, and there's no other solution. If you didn't already do coins and you don't have them from before, we've now shown that there's no other possible solution. There's no ways to get around it, in which case, that's why we'd have to say, again, you have to say it like this. The case where the Braita, or the Mishnah, we're both saying, where they treated Maser Sheni, that it's Batal Barov, and it's not a Devar Sheyesh Lo Matirin, were all cases where he had Ma'ot, Pachot Mishavapruta, Maser, Pachot Mishavapruta, and he hadn't redeemed something beforehand. The second case, although we'll see later that maybe this is all one case, that's going to be the second answer. Okay, so remember this question, because later we're going to have a second answer, which is that the 2 things mentioned in that Braita are actually one case combined. But right now we think that there's 2 different cases. One is Maser Sheni, Shem Bo Shev Pruta, and then we had to add that you didn't You didn't have a coin left over from earlier. Second is shenichnas liYerushalayim v'yetzah. So now they say v'amai. Why is this an issue? V'lehader v'na'ayle. Why don't you just go back inside Yerushalayim and eat it in Yerushalayim? What do you mean it doesn't have matirin? You have Master Shein Yerushalayim. You walked outside Jerusalem with it, so bring it back in. Now, yes, we understand you can't redeem it because the rabbis decreed that you cannot redeem your coins once you leave Yerushalayim. But you could still eat it. So then they answer, ah, b'shenitma. It must have been, it became tameh, in which case you can't eat it anymore. And the only thing you could do would be to redeem it, and here you can't redeem it. V'nifrike. But what do you mean? Why don't you redeem it? D'amar Rabbi Elazar, minayin l'maser sheni shenitma shepodim oto, v'afilu b'Yerushalayim. How do we know that if you have maser sheni, shenitma, even when you're in the city of Jerusalem, you're allowed to redeem it? What does the pasuk say? Ki lo tuchal se'eto. You cannot, this is the pasuk where it talks about redeeming it. Okay, right, what it really means is, right, ki yirbe mimcha aderech, the pasuk says, with if the path is too long for you to get there, right? Because it's far. So then, remember we darshan that whole pasuk. You have to take your kesef in your hand, right? That was all about keep money on hand at all times. So anyway, what are they darshan from this? So they prove that se'et, that shoresh, refers to food. So they darshan, ki lo tuchal se'eto means you can't eat it. Meaning, if you can't eat it because it's tameh, then you can redeem it. So still, it has a solution, has matirin. So again, what's the case here? So what do they say? Ela belakoch bekesef maser sheni. They're saying it's something that you bought with the money of Master Shani, and then you took it out of your Yerushalayim. So again, they say, "Lakoch b'kesef Master Shani nami lifrake ditnan halakoch b'kesef Master Shani shenitma yifdeh." If you bought something for Master Shani money and it becomes tameh, you can't eat it anymore. So they're suggesting maybe that's what they're talking about, but then they say no. Because that also, you can be podeh, ki Rabbi Yehuda. So then they answer, ki Rabbi Yehuda. No, there's a machloket about that. So you could say that this braita that said that it's a devarsha, that it's batal barov. Why is it batal barov? Because it's not a devarsha yesh lo matirin, it has no solution. Why? Because it's like shita Rabbi Yehuda. What does he say? If you buy something with kesef maser sheni and it becomes tameh, in other words, right, you... If your Master Shani becomes tameh, you can be podeh. But if it was something that you bought with your Master Shani money, that already can't, if it becomes tameh, Amar Damar Yikaver. He says the only thing you could do is bury it. You cannot eat it and you cannot redeem it onto a coin. So therefore, what are we going to say? That's the case where it's Batal Barov, because it has no solution. So E Rabbi Yehuda, well then we have a problem, which is what? What was the case? Master Sheni Shenichnas Yerushalayim V'yatzah. Now, in this case, this would be simply, you bring your Master Sheni money, you buy something with it in Yerushalayim, it becomes tameh, now you're stuck, you have to bury it. What's the relevance of you having gone out of Yerushalayim? Okay, so my iriya yatzah, why does it say yatzah? Filu lo yatzah nami. And this is a question in general, according to most of the explanations we held. So far, we haven't really explained what's the relevance of leaving Yerushalayim. So what do they say? So forget our answer that it was Maser Sheni Shenitma. Can't be, because it doesn't match the words of the Braita, that it was Nichnas V'yatza. Because as long as Nichnas already, V'nitma, then you'd already have the problem, and that we'd already be, if you hold like Rabbi Yehuda, it has to be Yikaver, it has to be destroyed and buried, and there's nothing you could do about it. So then what do they answer? Ela lo olam b'tahur. Really, it was tahur. Now this is one of those cases, I'm going to preface this by saying, where we're going to be making the braita in a very unique case, okay? So, lo'olam b'tahur, umayatzah, what's the relevance that you left Yerushalayim? Din nafol mechitzot. It was a case where the walls of Jerusalem fell. Now, what does it mean you have to eat it in Jerusalem? You have to eat it within the walls of Yerushalayim. So if you went into the city, okay, and now you then walked out of the city, and then the mechitzot fell, then you're stuck. Because once the mechitzot fall, you can no longer eat it in Yerushalayim. and you can no longer redeem it onto a coin because there's this gezeirah that once you go into the city and you leave the city, you can no longer redeem it onto a coin. Okay? So now remember, I want you to keep this in mind because we're going to get to this in a minute. The issue of eating in Yerushalayim when there's mechitzot is a halacha midoraita. It has to be in Yerushalayim when there's, and what's defined as Yerushalayim when there's walls around the city. If the halacha that once you leave Yerushalayim, you can no longer redeem it onto a coin, is a gzeira midrabanan. Okay? So, what are they going to say here? So what happened? You went out, and then nafil mechitza. V'ha'ma Rava, but wait a minute, doesn't Rava say, mechitza lechol de'oraita, mechitzot liklo de'rabanan? The fact that you need a mechitza to eat is de'oraita, and the fact that a mechitza is kolet, it, you know, that the mechitza basically means that you have to eat in Yerushalayim, and then you're not, that once you leave, you can't eat it anymore. One second. Right, that once you get into the city, right, you can't redeem it anymore. That's Rabbanan. The Chigazru Rabbanan ki it nehu lemechitzot. Obviously, the Gzeret Rabbanan is only going to hold when there's mechitzot. If you leave the city and then there's no mechitzot anymore, so ki lit nehu lemechitzot lo gazru Rabbanan, they weren't gozer that you can't be podet once there's no mechitzot anymore. So they say, no. Lo plug Rabbanan ben itnu lemechitzot ben lit nehu lemechitzot. Okay? They don't distinguish. The rabbi said, we're making our gzera across the board, whether there's mechitzot or whether there ain't mechitzot. So now what are we saying? In order to explain this case, they said, it must be nichnas Yerushalayim v'yatzan, the mechitzot fell, and now you no longer can redeem it onto a coin, and you can no longer eat it because of the, you know, you can't eat it unless there's Yerushalayim, and there's no Yerushalayim. Okay, that's one answer. So we had an answer for the case of now we had an answer to you went to Yerushalayim and then you left. Why both those cases are going to be batal berov, even though regular maaser sheni yesh lematirin, these two cases have no solution. Now Rav Huna Bar Yehuda is going to give a different answer. He says in the name of Rav Sheshet, I'm Rav Sheshet, Chadakatane, it's actually all one case. It's maaser sheni she'en bo sheva pruta shenichnas Yerushalayim v'yatza. So you had a maser sheni she'en bo sheva pruta, you brought it into Yerushalayim to eat, and then you left. So now the assumption is, let me just remember, the assumption is, right, that you can no longer be mechalal it on the ma'ot rishonot, right? That's the assumption. Right now you left Yerushalayim, so you can't do pidyon, because you're not allowed to do pidyon, right? So even though Chizkiah has the solution that you could be podet on ma'ot rishonot, in this case, you already went into the city and left, so you have the Gzeira Derabanan that you can't redeem it on a coin. But still, what else could you do? What would be the obvious? Go into Yerushalayim, right? Amai v'nehadr v'ne'ayle v'nechle. You can go eat it in Yerushalayim. In other words, why should this be a Devar She'en Lo Matirin? This is a Devar She'yesh Lo Matirin, because what happened? You had the Maaser Sheni, you walked out of Yerushalayim, you can't redeem it on a coin anymore because you left the city walls. But you can go back in and eat it. Okay, same question we had before. So again, they're going to answer, dinafil mechitzot v'nifrike. Okay, so now, dinafil mechitzot. It's a case, again, where you left the city, so now you can't redeem it, but you can't go back into the city because, and eat it, because there's no city anymore, the walls fell. So now they say v'nifrike. Ha'amar Rava, mechitza lechol d'oraita, mechitza liklot d'rabanan. But shouldn't we say, like we suggested before, that since mechitza lechol is d'oraita, but mechitza liklot is only d'rabanan, mechigazru rabanan, ki yinuhu lemechitza. Ki leinu, right? They were only gozer when there were mechitza. But ki leinu lemechitza lo gazru rabanan, they didn't allow you to be put at this point, because otherwise, you're stuck. So now again, they answer lo plug rabbanan. Okay, rabbanan don't distinguish between whether there's mechitzot or not, and they made their gzeira across the board whether there's mechitzot, whether there's not, and that's the case now, right? The case is where you have maaser sheni she'en bo sheva pruta, you left the city, you can no longer go back in and eat it because the mechitzot are gone. So ihachi, what's going to be the obvious problem? My iria she'en bo sheva pruta afilu yesh bo nami. What's the relevance of this being a unique case of Ein Bo Sheva Pruta? Any kind of Maaser Sheni should create this problem, right? Any Maaser Sheni, like we suggested in the first reading. The first reading was that there are two separate cases. And someone who goes into Yerushalayim goes out, and then the walls break down, is going to be stuck whether it has Shava Pruta, whether it doesn't have Shava Pruta. Either which way is going to be stuck. So why does the Braita say, assuming this is all one case, why does the Braita say, She'ein bo Shava Pruta, she'nechnas Yerushalayim v'yatza? It should be even Shava Pruta, she'nechnas Yerushalayim v'yatza, and Nafal Mechitza, right? Assuming it's our case that we've explained. So what are the answer? Loma baya kamar. It's a loma baya structure, which is a structure that what? That we say we're giving the bigger chidush. In other words, it's both cases. It applies across the board, but we're going to give the case that's more unique, that you wouldn't have been able to figure out otherwise. Lo mebaya yeshbo dikatlan le mechitzot. You don't need to say it in the case where it has a Shava Pruta, because in that case, for sure we're going to say that the mechitzot of Yerushalayim were kolate this item. Okay? Because it has value to it. Aval aimbo, aima lo kaltu le mechitzot, ka mashmalan. What might you have thought? If you go into Yerushalayim with Maser Sheni, which doesn't have a Shava Pruta, maybe that's not even enough of an entity to say that the walls were kolate, meaning that what? The rabbis were goes there, you have to remember. The rabbis are only goes there in basic cases. The fact that someone would have a Maser Sheni that doesn't even have value to it, not even Shava Pruta, is a very rare case. So the rabbis weren't going to make a gzera, you might have thought, that they wouldn't make a gzera that you, if, again, what's the gzera? That if you go into the city and leave the city walls, you can no longer do pidyon. So now they're going to say, no, the chidush is why they tell you the case of Aimbo Shava Pruta, to teach you that even Shava Pruta, I'm sorry, even Aimbo Shava Pruta, even if it's not worth much at all, even then you bring it into the walls of Yerushalayim, the walls are kolate, it accepts it, which means that if you leave, you can no longer redeem it. Okay? And that's why it's telling you that in the end, this is a case of Davar She'ein Lo Mitirim, because there's no way to resolve this issue. Okay, so we had two readings. One is, it's two separate cases. One is, it's all one case, which would basically neutralize Ein Bo Shava Pruta Bichlal is always going to be okay. It's just a case of Ein Bo Shava Pruta that came to the city walls and then you left. That's when Ein Bo Shava Pruta is not going to have any solution. Okay, Tov. Tanu Rabbanan. Im Ga'o Yig'al. Now we're going to get into the basic halacha of Ein Bo Shava Pruta, that you can't redeem it. Im ga'o yigal ish mi ma'asro. Now notice this word mi ma'asro, from his ma'aser. We've seen this before, this type of drasha. Whenever it says from something, it means that not from it particularly, but not from something else. It's going to limit the halacha. Mi ma'asro velo kol ma'asro. From some of his ma'aser, but not all of his ma'asro. Prat le'ma'aser sheni she'en bo sheva pruta. That teaches you this basic halacha that a ma'aser sheni she'en bo sheva pruta, you can't redeem it on a coin. Itmar, Rav Ami Amar, now we're going to have a machloket about this. Ein bo, okay, Rav Ami says it means that we're talking, when we talk about all these cases of Maser Sheni Shein Bo Sheva Pruta, the Chizkiah said you can have a possible solution, but the basic halacha is it can't be redeemed at all. So what are we talking about? What doesn't have a Sheva Pruta? So he says, Ein bo, the Maser itself doesn't have the fruits. But Rav Asi Amar, Ein bechumsho. You remember what happens when you redeem Maser Sheni? You have to redeem it onto a coin, but not just the, we're going to call it the keren and the chomesh, right? Not just the principal, the fruit itself, but also you have to add an additional chomesh. So he says, the second opinion is that the chomesh itself has to have a value of a pruta. So even if you have a keren that's more than a Shava Pruta, but the Chomesh isn't a Shava Pruta, then you also can't redeem it onto a coin. The Chomesh has to have significance. Okay, we're going to see that not only Rav Ami and Rav Asi disagreed about this, but Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Rish Lakish also did. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Aimbo, and Rabbi Aimbo, let's put the stress on the right word, Aimbo, it doesn't have the keren itself. Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish Amar Ein Bechumsho. Even if the Chomesh doesn't have, then you can't redeem it. So now we're going to have a question on one of the Shitot. Maser Sheni She'en Bo Sheva Pruta. Sorry, Metive, we have a question. Maser Sheni She'en Bo Sheva Pruta. Dayo She'yomar Hu V'chumsho Mechulal HaMa'od HaRishono. So now they're going to darshan this word Dayo. Dayo means it's sufficient to say, which they basically are going to understand means it's a bigger Chiddush than Chizkiah said. So they're going to say, Bishlama Lamanda. So what are they saying? It's enough to say it and it's right. It's sufficient to say that it and its chomesh can be mechulal ma'od rishono. So the assumption here is that they're saying something more than chizkiyasim. So bishlama lamanda amar ein b'chum sho haynu dekatani dayo. If you say that the chomesh itself needs to have a shevet pruta, that's why they said dayo. They wanted to teach you something additional to chizkiyah. That not only the karen like chizkiyah seemed to imply, but also the chomesh. Da'af agav de bididei itbe, even though it in itself has kevan de b'chum sheleka shapir. Since the chomesh doesn't have, then it also can't be redeemed. Ela lamanda amar ein bo my dayo. But if you say ein, sorry, I keep saying it wrong. If you say ein bo, it doesn't have it in and of itself, the karen itself. So my dayo, then why did they need to add this word dayo? It's interesting, they make a whole big thing out of just this one word dayo, the wording of it, as if that proves everything. And then they answer kasha. They say, yes, it is difficult. So therefore, they're leaning toward the side that says that the chomesh actually has to have a shevet pruta. And now we're going to finally get to this question about chomesh, and you finally get to hear the ins and outs about it. Ibailhu. Chumsho milgayo or chumsho milavar. Is the chomesh within the amount itself, meaning take the amount, it's 20. We're going to say it's 1/5 of that, which is going to be, plus 4. Okay? Or is it milavar, from outside of it, which means that when you add up, you're going to basically have, this thing has four parts, and we're going to add a fifth, right? And then it'll be a fifth of the total. You follow? Which actually seems to match a little bit, saying that the chomesh itself needs to have, maybe it's sort of saying the chomesh is all part of the whole amount. So that then it would be plus 5 instead of plus 4. You see the difference? Because then it would be, in the end you're going to have 25, and 1/5 of 25 is 5. You follow? So that's by saying it's milavar, from outside of it, or is it milagayo, from inside? So amaravina tashma, let's learn it from here. Here's a braita that says, habalim omrim be'esrim, v'chol adam be'esrim. Okay, this is a case where someone is makdish, and then he's podeh his hekdish. Okay? But now he wants to redeem his item. There's something here. One second. Something about... There's an option for other people also to be podeh v'hekdesh. Right, he was podes. He was makdesh sadeh, and then he wants to be podeh. So, and then basically it becomes an auction. And we auction it off to who pays the higher price. So the Baalim say we want it for esrim. V'chol adam be'esrim, and they say esrim. Now when you're podeh for hekdesh, you have to add a fifth. Habalim kodmim. Mipnei shemosifin chomesh. What happens? This is just like we talked about the maaser. Who adds a fifth? Only the owner adds a fifth. But if you're doing it with someone else's field, you're redeeming someone else's field, then you don't add a fifth. So, because the Baalim are going to add a fifth, meaning who's the Beit HaMikdash is going to win out if the Baalim do it, because they're going to get an extra fifth. We'll see in a minute. It's going to be 5. Therefore, we give first priority to the Baalim, especially if they're equal bids. But Amar Achad, Harei Alai Be'esrim Ve'echad, HaBaalim Notnim Esrim Ve'shesh. What happens now? If the Baalim say 20, and the opposite bid, you know, the bid opposite them is 21, if the Baalim add Chomesh, right, they're going to add how much?
5.
Which now proves, by the way, that it's 5 and not 4, right? That it's Milavar. But now, since the other guy bid 21, so they're still higher bid than the 21 because they're really bidding 25. But they have to take that guy's price, the 21, and then add the chomesh from what they bidded. Okay? So now, esrim v'shnayim, let's say the other guy bids esrim v'shnayim, habalim notim esrim v'sheva. They're always going to give 5 more than the other guy's bid. Okay? Be'esrim v'shalosh, habalim notim esrim v'shmone. Be'esrim v'arba, habalim notim esrim v'tesha. Esrim v'chamesh, habalim notnim shloshim, lefi she'em mosifim chomesh al iloy shel zeh. They don't have to pay the chomesh on the other guy's bid, they only have to pay chomesh on their own bid. Shmamina, what do you learn from here? Chumsha milavar. What did we learn? We didn't learn this from the point of this thing that you have to add to the other guy's bid. That wasn't relevant to us. The point is that the chomesh is 5, according to this calculation. So there you see, that's what it is. But wait, last thing before we finish. Kitnai. But actually, it's a machloket tana'im. V'yasaf chamishato alav, Shehei hu v'chumsho chamisha. So the first drasha, that's Divrei Rabbi Yoshia. Because it says v'yasaf chamishato, he and his chumash should be five. In other words, it's going to be the higher amount. Rabbi Yonatan Amar, chamishato chumsho shel keren. He says, no, chamishito, the chamishit of this item. And he says it's going to be four, right? It's going to be the chamishit of the item. So there's actually a machloket tana'im about it. We paskin that it's milavar, but I think it sits better with us knowing that there's two different opinions about this. It wasn't so clear-cut, because it always sounds weird that chomish just really ends up being a quarter, right? Not a fifth. So it seems very strange. So it was a machloket tana'im, and they decided to err, I guess, on the
higher side.
Right. And say that it's, you know, one-fifth outside, which is really a quarter. Shabbat Shalom.